Hello, everybody. Great to be with you again. I wanted to talk to you today about something that's very near and dear to me, and that's surrender. Surrender has been the central tenet of my life for a lot of years now, and it has probably been the thing for more than a decade that I've spent more time talking about than anything else. Even prior to awakening, I was very clear that on the level that I could understand it and the level that I could reach it, that surrender was a terrific life strategy. And it is. That's the great thing about surrender, is that it'll meet us where we are. If we are at a place where it feels like we're a very distinct person and personality, and over here, and it's me and my world and all of that, surrender will work for us very, very well as a life strategy. After awakening, we can experience a different level of surrender, which because then we're asked to surrender wholly, in every moment to every arising, where we're asked to identify with our experience and not our thinking, where we're asked to identify as our full being and not just the human being. So let's talk about this surrender as a life strategy, in the sense that if you are on this spiritual journey and you are still feeling, like you're very much, you may know that you're not, that you're all part of the oneness, but if you feel like you're still seeking and still looking for that real connection to oneness, I will tell you that surrender is the most effective spiritual tool that I have ever come across. It's the most powerful and it's the most direct. It's the fastest way to awakening that there is. It's the fastest way to enlightenment that I know. It was the fastest way that Ramana Maharshi knew. That was a great Indian saint, and people would ask him and he about his teaching, and he would give him his teaching and his inquiry and this and that and the other, and then he would finish that up by saying, "Or you can surrender." But the surrender is not something that we're particularly called on to do because it doesn't feel like a wise decision. It feels like it is a foolish decision that's coming from weakness. But in truth, it is a wise decision that's coming from wisdom, the wisdom of seeing things as they are. But we'll talk about the first level of surrender. So let's just notice something here. In a situation where I feel like I'm here and the world is there, and the world, I'll notice that if I feel that way, that on a very regular basis, the world isn't doing what I want it to. People aren't driving like I want. My mate isn't doing what I want. I don't have a mate. I don't have enough money. The dog's barking. It's raining. Whatever it is, you'll notice that it's like this running little argument with how things are. We hear a lot about in spirituality that we need to really quiet this. And that may be a really good long-term strategy, and maybe meditation and things like that may be very helpful with that. But what I noticed was, and I did a lot of that, was that I never shut this up. I never did. So what happened, and I really needed to, because I was a practicing alcoholic. And when it came time to get sober, that seems like a great idea when you're still drinking. But it's like going on a diet while you're still eating. It sounds like a great idea for tomorrow. And in a minute you make that decision, up comes this secondary voice that's saying, "Boy, is this a lousy idea? Whoever thought of this? Let's back away from this. Quit drinking. I don't know. We need to have a drink. And think about that." You can apply that sort of addiction to anything you want, because we're addicted to everything virtually, and because we're addicted to this, we're addicted to this, to being this individual person, and we're addicted to that person's thinking, and we think it's very important, and we pay it a lot of attention, maybe a little bit too much attention. But the fact is if we're going to wait until we quiet this down before we make any spiritual progress, we may never make much spiritual progress. So what I'm going to suggest is that you can let this do what you want. Let it run. You can't stop it anyway. So let it do whatever it wants, but start surrendering to the way things are. And the way things are means this arising, right here, right now. You know, the only thing I've got to surrender to at this point is I got to surrender to doing this video. And I got to surrender to the fact that I want it to get right, because I've been trying to cut this video for 4 days and I've been unable to get it. And if I get too attached to the idea that this is the time it's going to be right, you can bet the power is going to go out again. Because I'll have to get that fresh lesson in surrendering to this arising. So whatever the arising is our teacher at that moment. We're always getting exactly what we need to move us along the spiritual path in the most efficient method for wherever we are. So if when it's raining and I'm going, it shouldn't be raining, instead of trying to quiet that voice, question it. Just question it. It shouldn't be raining. Is that true? Is that true, or is that an opinion of mine? Well, I noticed that it is raining. And if it is raining, then there's no point in my arguing with it, because it's already raining. The only thing that I can change in the situation where it's raining is I can change me. And the same thing will be if, you know, I don't have enough money. Is that true? Well, I don't know. I know that I don't have as much money as I'd like to have. That's true. Now, do I have enough money? Let's check. Am I breathing? Yep, I'm breathing. Am I cold? Nope. Am I fed? Yep. Is there anything I desperately need? Nope. I got enough money. See, that's the key, is that I've always got enough money. Matter of fact, I've generally speaking got a good bit more money than we need, because we got a little mechanism called a wallet. This is what I keep my extra money in. So I've not only got money, I've got extra money. I got a wallet that I keep my extra money in. I got a checkbook that I keep my extra money in. So if I got everything I need at the moment and I got money to spare, do I not have enough money? I can't find a reliable argument to back that up. I just think it's an opinion of mine. And the opinion, I can stay with the opinion that I don't have as much money as I want, and then I just have to suffer a little. The idea that I should have more money than I got is enough to make me suffer a lot. So it's always this arising, this moment. It's never, you know, I can't surrender to what, you know, when I surrender to this moment, I automatically surrender to everything that's already happened, because it just has already been. That's the key, is I don't have to surrender to anything but this moment. This moment takes care of all the past, and there really is no future. There is a future. Is it true? Let's take a look. Is there a future yet? There may be a future in the future, but there's not one here now, is there? So do I need to surrender to a future that's not here now, to a future? I don't think I do. I think all I need to surrender to is this moment, right here, right now. And I can always surrender to this moment, right here, right now, no matter what. And if I find myself in a terrifically terrible situation that I just can't surrender to, then I surrender to that. I surrender to the fact that I can't surrender to this situation. And that will free me up. That will bring about relief. That will give me the much needed space, so that I can come back and recognize who it is that we're really talking about here. At the moment, we're talking about this unit. But as we move forward, if we surrender to all of that, we surrender to our current arising over and over again, a sense of peace will come in. We will begin to get glimpses. When I cease to be in resistance to reality, I'll get better glimpses of reality as it actually is, so that I don't have to surrender to it, because it arrives in a form where I can see, oh, that doesn't require surrender. It doesn't require my help in this situation. So surrendering to now over and over and over and over again. We got to be alert now. Even once we wake up, we got to be alert now. Awakening is all about right now. Enlightenment is all about right now. So that's as the unit. Then we have some true seeing. What is actually the first thing that we notice when we have an awakening of sorts? It'll be that, generally speaking, it'll be the fact that this guy, this all-important guy, doesn't actually exist. That what I am, or that I'm not it. I mean, you can say it exists. It's certainly here. It's as real as anything else. But we can question just how real all that is. But I'm not him, that's for sure. And when it's seen that I'm not him, the surrender that is called for is for me to surrender to that truth over and over again. But now we're not asking a unit to surrender. We're almost asking, it's almost as if we're asking awareness itself to surrender. But awareness itself is surrender. So what we're asking at that point really is for ego to just simply acknowledge the truth and to acknowledge that I don't need to fight. I don't need to fight to keep this guy alive. This guy's as alive as he's going to get, and he's as dead as he's going to get until he's dead. This guy will, this unit has its own strategy. This body has its own intelligence, and it has its own strategy, and it's going to do what it's meant to do here, and there's nothing I can do to stop it. And there's nothing I can do to help it. What other than to be awake to what it does. See, the whether we've had a real seeing or not, the movement is always to fix, even when we think, okay, now I'm the watcher and I see what he's doing and I want to fix that. And now I'm not the watcher. Then that's the doer again. So you come right in the back door. I'm the watcher, I'm the pleasant watcher, and then, oh, he screwed up. Is that true? Take that into inquiry. Is it really true? He screwed up. Do I know that? Is that body in the wrong place? Is it doing the wrong thing? Do I know that to be true? We got to be willing to question everything. We got to be willing to accept tons of doubt. Doubt's our best friend. Doubt's the friend that'll bring us awakeness right now. So it's this willingness for the ego to surrender to the truth. And the truth is, it's simply not needed. What's needed is the simple aware, the light of awareness to be brought on this character. That's all that's really required. That's all my job is to watch the character. And when I watch that character closely, what I'll notice is it's got a whole bunch of dysfunctional patterns. It's got a whole bunch of blind patterns. It doesn't, there's nobody there running those patterns. There's no Fred there running Fred's patterns. There's just a body and it's running a bunch of patterns that have been successful in the past. We call it DNA, and it's running those past patterns blindly, and it's running patterns from nurture that it's learned in this lifetime, and it's running them all by itself. And it will run a pattern until either this unit dies or the pattern is seen to be ineffective. If it's seen, a pattern is seen to not be beneficial, that doesn't even have to be terrible. If it's simply not a beneficial pattern, then it will begin to recede. It'll begin to drop away of its own accord. I don't have to adjust anything. I can't adjust anything. There's nothing I can do about. See, this non-duality is not a quick fix. If you are suffering in your life, you may suffer after you come to to some seeing too. If you get a chance to have an experience of no self, odds are that suffering will be greatly reduced. It was in my case. And I woke up in a hell of a situation, just full of suffering. And an invitation to suffer a lot more. I woke up in a time when suicide would have been the preferable out, and I couldn't even do that. So what I want to say is that the pure seeing alleviated a great deal of that pain, but it didn't take it away. I still was suffering. I still had great preferences that I wish that I wasn't in that situation. Because there's, it's all well and good to say I'm not the character, I'm not the character, and I'm not exclusively the character, but don't think I'm not the character. There's only one thing going on. I am the character, I'm just not the character exclusively. And you are your character, you're just not your character exclusively. But we don't get to drop all of that. But this bringing, when we bring that light of awareness and we play it around all the dark corners of our lives, these patterns will be seen through And we can jettison them. They become jettisoned. We can't jettison them. They recede of their own accord. We begin to then live in surrender so that we don't have to process every single thing that's coming up quite so much. I learned from that. I've already seen through the fact that people drive the way they drive and that my hollering at them doesn't help. So guess what? Road rage just ceases on its own. I used to be pretty bad at that stuff, hollering and honking and raising my fist and ready to get out of the parking lot. And I'm not even a big guy, I'm just a stupid guy. I have no road rage whatsoever now. I mean, I don't know what it would take to get me angry. I'm sure you could do it, but I don't know how. And I'm just as glad to not know how. I'm glad to stay in not knowing. So I don't want this video to go forever. I just want to touch on this idea of the wisdom of surrender, the wisdom of surrendering to the way things already are anyway. Give it a try. It'll really help you out. Write me if you'd like. Let me know how it's going. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.